I thought I'd touch on a couple of things, sort of division-wide. You know, at times I kind of go, what pandemic? And yet here I am at home today working from home because of the ice, not because of the pandemic.
To make it tomorrow morning because I want to.
In a way, we've actually, faculty and our students really
are supposed to be calling.
And so I appreciate the opportunity to tell that story. We've had some changes, have some changes underway at OSU and within our division. Of course, I can't go without talking about New Frontiers, our effort to build a new building for the college and the kind of improvements that we anticipate making at the agronomy farm. So we're not done by any means. We've got a lot of work to do. As far as the pandemic goes, I think it's important for people to understand that OSU is really in a unique spot. And part of that, I think, a lot of that's attributable to President Hargis' leadership, but also the way our faculty and staff and students adapted very quickly. So our enrollment in the fall of 2020 was actually up over what it had been the previous year. I mean, I know you've heard, and nationwide, there's been a tremendous drop off in student enrollment, but we were up. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way we adapted to the pandemic. Our college in particular was down slightly in the fall, just a couple of percentage points in our enrollment. We've recovered some of that this spring. And I think what happened in part was some students opted to go to a local community college for the first semester and then came back and joined us here this semester. So our numbers are still holding really steady. And as I said, our faculty and students really adapted quickly to the new model of using social distancing in class, some online instruction, everyone wears a mask and so on. Extension really adapted quickly also. And it really, the timing in a way was quite fortunate for us because just about a year ago right now, we went live with our new Extension web platform and subsequently a new platform for ag research or the experiment station, as well as for the Ferguson College. But it really made it easy for people to find our content at a time when they were looking for information. And of course, our staff adapted quickly. Our virtual field days learned some things in the process. You know, if you're going to have a field day in Oklahoma, it's going to be windy. You just expect that. And if it isn't, you know, you take it as a blessing. Anyway, that threw a few curves at us. But our faculty and specialists really adapted well. We've seen a number of webinar series go on. A good example of that is Dr. Hegerman, Amy Hegerman in Ag Econ, really stayed on top of the whole coronavirus food assistance program and how that was, creating opportunities for producers. The first version of that wasn't so attractive. Our favorite hard red winter wheat was left out, but the second round it came around and picked up a lot more of our commodities. And Dr. Hegerman was right on top of that. So she was providing webinars not only for producers, but also for our FSA office. And so I really am proud of the way our faculty have adapted. On research, you know, it's interesting. We never shut down on our research. And I didn't realize that was a big deal until I started hearing from colleagues around the country talking about, well, you know, we're trying to figure out how to start back up on the research. And it's like, start. What do you mean start up? And the fact is that there are some universities where scientists could not go into their labs or they could not carry out their field work. And that's unthinkable for me. Anyway, Dr. Owens, our department heads, the faculty, never paused, really. We had to change the way we did some things, our travel, our safety plans, and so on. But faculty, grad students and technicians all adapted well. And our university administration was very permissive. They trusted us to make good, safe decisions for our folks. We have seen an increase in our grants, both the grants submitted and grants awarded. Our faculty took advantage of some of the free time that they had because they weren't going to all those meetings or so on. Anyway, $64 million submitted in proposals, $15 million awarded, some really good sized awards there. We're really pleased about that. Our royalties continue to what I call wag the dog in that we account for 85% of OSU's royalty earnings. So I'm proud of that. I think it says something about what else is going on campus and a need for some of the other research programs to improve, and they're working on it. Anyway, and of course, five new wheat varieties released. It's almost like an afterthought. It seems that seems to be our current trend. But anyway, really good, I think, measures of how our faculty and our staff have adapted and continued to produce for the industry during the pandemic. As I said, we've had some changes in three department heads, new department heads on board. Dr. Moss, who's on our faculty, became the department head for Horton Landscape Architecture last spring. Dr. DeVise, also on our faculty in Ag Econ, came on as the new department head to replace Dr. Woods when he retired in Ag Econ. And then most recently, Dr. Mari Chin came to us from North Carolina State as the new department head in Biosystems and Ag Engineering, and she is off to a great start. So I really appreciate having those new leaders in our organization. And I'm excited to see the kinds of things that they're doing with their faculty. Of course, we have some other things going on at OSU. President Hargis announced his retirement. That search process is underway. Prediction is we'll know who the new president is probably in late March or April. Provost Sandifer announced his plans to retire at the end of March. And that really is intended to be an orderly transition. When a new president comes in, they expect to hire a new chief academic officer or provost. Provost Sandifer is ready to retire. So he retired a little bit earlier before President Hargis. So we've got an interim named Dr. Jeanette Mendez, who's been the vice provost. She'll continue as interim provost until the new president gets on board and can start the search for a more permanent provost. Keith Owens informed me last year that he plans to retire this year. I wouldn't talk to him for a couple weeks, and that didn't seem to help. So I said, okay, I guess I have to accept that. But anyway, seriously, Dr. Owens has been a great partner and leader for us in overseeing our research enterprise and the Ag Experiment Station. Tough shoes to fill. We do have the search underway. Dr. Doy, the Mona Doy, is chairing that search committee. We've got a good pool of candidates, and we'll be conducting those interviews over the next 4 to 6 weeks to identify a replacement. And just a couple weeks ago, Dr. Mulder informed me that he plans to retire this year. He's been our department head in entomology and plant pathology for some time. So we've got another search to get started there as well. Some new faculty positions. Some of these, we got some outside funding from NSF for a fire ecologist position in natural resource ecology management, a water quality engineer in biosystems and ag engineering. Some other searches currently underway or about to begin. An agribusiness position in Ag Econ, replacing Dr. Brian Adam, who retired last year. Another in Ag Econ, I misprinted that. The production economics position is in Ag Econ, not in entomology. Sorry. And that's really replacing Francis Eplin, who retired a few years ago. So we had to kind of wait on that until we got our budgets in order. But anyway, that's underway. Two positions in plant pathology. Dr. Damacone retired and announced his retirement. We're filling that with a row crop pathologist. And more recently, Dr. Hunger has indicated that he thinks it's time to retire. Didn't consult with me on that. I couldn't talk him out of it. But seriously, he's been a tremendous leader for us on our wheat team. And that's going to be a really important position for us to fill as well. New Frontiers is the name of our campaign to provide a new building for our college. And, you know, the pandemic really didn't slow us down at all on the design part. We were planning to break ground in the spring of 2021, and by golly, we're going to do it. We've got a tentative groundbreaking April 23rd. This spring, it'll be an afternoon, Friday afternoon, opportunity to celebrate what we have coming up. But really, they'll probably begin site work in the 1st of March or so, fence off that parking lot and so on. We're really excited to have the architects working closely with faculty to make sure that we've got space that's going to function the way we need it to function here in the 21st century. Our fundraising, of course, it didn't really stop, but it certainly took a left turn with the pandemic, because we were planning quite a few events and activities to connect with donors. We couldn't do that, but we had laid enough groundwork, I guess, that we've been able to continue making progress towards our $50 million goal of private funding for the project. And so we're at $41 million now. We've got more in the system that's probably going to put us closer to $42 million. So we're definitely on the downhill side. And I keep telling donors, you know, we want to get this done before June 30th, so the new president doesn't have any question but what this is an important project and we're going to get it done. We have had good support from a number of folks and interests in the ag industry sectors. I'll share a list with you here in a minute. And I also want to share the regents are on board. President Hargis has been very supportive, but the regents also back in September approved the first $15 million of $40 million that they're going to provide from their bonding capacity. So I wanted to make sure OGI, the board members are aware there are opportunities to join in the campaign. We've got some opportunities for naming spaces, particularly on the third floor. That's going to be kind of a grand central station for our plant science group in general. We've got the research lab on the third floor. It can be named for $500,000. The department administrative suite actually is $250,000. I neglected to get the right number there. The genomics lab, where Dr. Yan will be housed, $160,000. There's a graduate student workstation where a lot of our grad students will be officed, $150,000. The seed and grain archive, we're going to get one that actually works. $80,000, a growth chamber in the research lab, $60,000, lab huddle room where research teams can meet and plan and so on, $25,000, and faculty offices at $25,000. So just wanted to make sure you're aware of that opportunity. This is the plan for that third floor. So you can see on the right side there, the plant science research labs are on the third floor, grouped together. The soils lab is on the first floor. Plant science is on the third floor, but very open lab design. A lot of faculty be able to work in there together. Grad student space is right adjacent to it there, you can see. And just up and to the left, the genomics research labs are located there. And then over on the left side of that image, that sort of pinkish purple space, that's an office suite that will include the department head offices for a couple of departments three departments: plant and soils, horticulture, landscape architecture, natural resource ecology management, and then two centers, the water center and the environmental science program. There, the department heads will all be co-located in that suite with a single set of financial services provided there, so we can consolidate our administrative services and our administrative footprint. So the last thing I just wanted to address is the agronomy farm. We do have a master plan for that. We've got to get started on Ag Hall first, the new building. But once we get that underway, we're going to be looking to identify some funding sources for this improvements at the agronomy farm. The master plan is probably about a $28, $30 million project. It'll include new greenhouses and head house, replace the ones that have been around longer than most people on this call. A new building that will house laboratories and offices, a new home for the soil testing lab, and eventually the plant disease insect diagnostics lab. So it'll be more accessible right there off of Highway 51, some new barns for machine storage, high bay barns and so on. And I just wanted to mention, I think, you know, that one of our big opportunities here is an initiative to provide some federal funding that might be part of a broader rural infrastructure initiative. You know, we're expecting there will be some stimulus funding coming about to try to help get the economy going again once we can get past COVID. And I just have to say, American Farm Bureau and the Farm Credit Council have been great leaders for us in really a more systematic approach to infrastructure projects in rural America. That includes broadband, includes transportation, and other infrastructure, and ag research is part of that. So, in fact, I've got an opportunity to tell that story today to the state presidents for American Farm Bureau. They have their bi-monthly meeting today, and I get to present about that on behalf of the land-grant institution. So we're excited about that. But this just kind of illustrates the point. You can see the sort of pale green line there for China. These are their investments in ag research going from 1990 up to the mid-2010s. Pretty sharp upward turn, right? Look at the United States. We've been kind of middling, and we actually have been on a downward trend where everyone else is on an upward trend. And so that really concerns us. And this is an example of how we can put some federal investment back into ag research by investing in infrastructure that is nearly 70% of it is really at the point of needing to be replaced. Our ag hall is a good example. Our agronomy farm is a good example. We're not alone. It's true at a lot of other land grants as well, that the ag research infrastructure is in need of replacement. So, we're shooting for the moon and asking for inclusion of about $11.5 billion that would be in a stimulus package that would go towards improving ag research infrastructure at our ag colleges and land grant universities. So we'll see how that goes. We got to wait for someone, the administration or Congress to put a proposal forward. But we're doing everything we can to make sure that ag research is in that package and that we've got an opportunity to receive grants for funding that would help us address challenges like the redo of the agronomy farm. So I'll stop there and happy to answer questions. Again, I really appreciate the support of OGI and look forward to continued work with all of you in support of our ag industries, certainly our wheat industry, but the others, the peanut growers and others that OGI serves. It's an important partnership to us. Thank you.
Dean, thank you so much for a great report. Tom, you mentioned the groundbreaking ceremony. I'm sure you're going to be publicizing that in the days to come. What are they telling you right now regarding completion day, when you'll be able to start moving in to new Ag Hall?
It's a 30-month project. So fall of 2023, we'll be moving in. And what impresses me is that these guys have stayed on schedule. They told us that they would be ready for groundbreaking in the spring of this year. This was 2 years ago they told us this. And we've said we're planning on that. And by golly, pandemic or not, we're getting that done. Construction's a 30-month project. So fall of 2023, we'll be moving in. We're telling freshmen students, hey, you're going to be in this building.